I was in business. I was very proud of myself. I still have that typewriter, although I don't use it now. I have a better one. I wouldn't say a better one, but an up-to-date one. But we went along like that for a while. And between my Al-Anon meetings and learning in the Al-Anon meetings, you know, I never thought I got anything out of Al-Anon until I found myself doing the things that I had learned in Al-Anon. I don't know how it works. It grows on you, just I think like AA grows on the alcoholic. It just grows a little bit at a time. And you find yourself doing these things that you've learned. And I've lost my trend of thought. Anyway, it was getting that we were getting more groups and more groups. And I think from the first time that I went to the clearinghouse, we always had a group in Australia. It was one of our first foreign groups, Australia and South Africa. I think we had one in each. And Henrietta, I suppose a lot of you know Henrietta, who was the executive secretary of, she's the boss in Al-Anon World Service Office. We call her the boss, and she always shakes her head and says, oh no, but she is. But she writes, all the foreign groups are her pets. She writes to them all, personally. But it was around, she was a volunteer, and as we grew, she was asked to be our first paid worker. And we didn't have much money, so it was very little she got. But she came in for 2 days a week. And as it was a very lonely place there, working upstairs, it was a clubhouse at night, and they had AA meetings at night there. It was a little lonesome working there all day alone. So I and another girl used to alternate and go in there with her when she was there. We would have drunks banging and kicking on the door to get in because they thought they could get a handout there. They were all right when they came at night. And it was around that time that we started to get another pamphlet. We had heard about it, or it was, I don't know just how it was. We were sent a copy, and we ordered Alcoholism, the Family Disease. It came from Kentucky. It was a little red book, much thinner than it is today. And we had had a couple of orders, and we had never noticed what it came in until one day I was unpacking the box, and I noticed what it said on the side, and it said bourbon whiskey. So we had a good laugh about that. Well, I really can't go into detail and tell you all the ups and downs that we had in that clearinghouse. But we had some sad times, and we had some good times, and when we all got together, we could all laugh at our own, well, mistakes, and to be able to laugh at everything that had gone before, I think, was a wonderful thing. I always had a good sense of humor, and I think you really need it if you're living with an alcoholic. But it was coming up to the... Lois started a handbook. She's always had a handbook. She still has one. It's the handbook for the assemblies now, for the conference handbook. But this handbook was compiling everything that we had for Al-Anon. Like the group structure and the steps, and everything was going into this book. And I think there was about 34 or 50 pages. And it was mimeographed and sent out to the groups for their approval to see if we should have this handbook. And their approval and their remarks or what else they would like to have in it. And we got a lot of requests to have personal stories in. So, I guess I never thought about that. So, they were written to and asked to send in their personal stories, and then these stories were edited, and they were compiled and put in this book, which was our first book, The Al-Anon Family Groups. And it was ready for publication in St. Louis at the AA convention in 1955, which was the first convention, AA convention, Al-Anon had been asked to participate in. We all went, and the night that Lois called me and told me I was going, I cried. My husband said, what are you crying for? You're going on a good trip. I said, I was so full of gratitude that I just had to cry. Well, we went to this convention, and we were all in the same hall. It was a big coliseum, round coliseum. And we our booth was here, and the grapevine, and the AA, and we were all together. And a lot of the AA men came just to scoff at Al-Anon. They had never let their wives go to Al-Anon. They had never let their wives start Al-Anon groups, because they thought we were a gossip group. They thought all we did was talk about the alcoholic's fault, and we didn't. But after they attended the meetings in the big halls where we had our meetings, they came to us at the booth and they said, well, now we know what Al-Anon is. And they were going home and allow their wives to go to Al-Anon and start Al-Anon groups. And after that 1955 convention, we got a new group a day. And as Henrietta had been working up to 4 days then in the office, and I was going in 3 or 4 days, my husband was beginning to think I was out all the time, the two girls were offered jobs for 2 days a week at a token of appreciation, because we didn't have any money. So I was the second paid worker, and Dot, the other girl, came a few weeks later, and we were the first 3 paid workers. And we also gave a volunteer day. With my Al-Anon group, I went from the treasurer to the secretary to the chairman many, many times. And I would like to say that if anyone is asked to serve as an officer in the group, this is the way you grow. Don't just go and sit back and let everybody do it. Take a part in it and get some responsibility. It's good for you. And if you're asked to speak, get up in front of your group and tell them what Al-Anon has done for you. Start at your group. This is all another person wants to hear, is what Al-Anon has done for you, how it's made you grow. This is what they want to know. I don't think it's too hard now. Now I say I don't think it's too hard. But it has been a wonderful, wonderful life for my husband and myself. Now, my husband recommends Al-Anon. I don't know, as I said, I didn't think I had any fault. I don't know how I changed, but I must have, because he tells everybody that he meets that Al-Anon is for them. So I must have changed somehow. We have a very happy life together now. We can work the program together. I wouldn't want to give up all these years at all. It has been wonderful. And you know, the second time I spoke for 50 minutes because I didn't have an ending. So now I have an ending and I'm going to read it. I say, to me, growth came very slowly. I would be surprised when I would do something and realize I had learned that in Al-Anon. I do have slips and resentment takes over for a while. But having a quiet time and promptly admitting when I was wrong has been a big help to me. The friends I have made both in AA and Al-Anon, I would never like to give up. Where in this world would you find anyone that understands what we are talking about but in Al-Anon and AA? I could go on for a long time. There are many more things that have happened to change my life, from the confused, fearful person I was to what I am today. Still confused. There are few people around here that knew me then, Lois. I think they can see the difference. Although I know I could have done a better job in some areas, I have taken the easy does it slogan, and I think I am happier for it. I have learned that knowledge and understanding are the keys to building a better life with your alcoholic. I try to accept things as they are on a 24-hour basis. I don't think it is ever too late to find ourselves, to find a certain peace of mind and serenity. I have found happiness in this way of living and want to share it with those who are still searching. I feel that in this way, I am giving a little back to the ones who took the time to help me. Now, before I really close, I want to read something that Bill said at the first advisory committee meeting of Al-Anon, March the 18th, 1952, which was a few months before I started in Al-Anon, which was in August of that year. He said, "You are pioneers of a movement whose implications will be quite as great as AA has ever been. The need is just as great as the need for AA. When the drinking is finished, much of the habit pattern remains. To deal with the habit, you are enlisting yourself. The progress already made is wonderful, beyond our wildest dreams. You are doing much better than you know. Look in upon yourselves and help the husbands and wives of alcoholics coming in. Good domestic relations afford a good foundation for sobriety. When not trying to divert them from the main purpose, the dividends will be better. Domestic relations will improve, and you will find yourselves in favor. Patience is the watchword." Thank you.
Evelyn, I assure you too that your tape will be played over many, many times. Now, time is getting on a little bit, so we'll just call one more Al-Anon and one more AA speaker. Therese.
Good evening to Al-Anon and to our very, very special guest this evening. My name is Therese and I'm a member of Al-Anon, a very new member. I joined Al-Anon about 2 years ago, about 4 or 5 months after my husband had stopped drinking. Somebody said this evening, I can't remember who, that I think it was Lois, who said that she didn't find the happiness that she thought she would find when her husband had stopped drinking, and I think I, too, came into this category. I had hoped for, I don't quite know what, because I was searching for something that I did not find in my husband's sobriety. And I realized that there was something more for me. And I went along with my sponsor to Al-Anon, and I didn't understand what it was all about, but I listened, and I felt, yes, here there was something that could help me a great deal, and I didn't know quite how or when, but I knew that those girls there were very sincere, and that they had a lot of knowledge and a lot of serenity that I could do with. So I continued to go each week for quite a long time, and I began to look at the 12 steps, and I thought what a difficult program it is to follow. And in the beginning I used to say to myself, yes, you know, the first step and the second step and all the other steps too, that my husband could do with them. I felt he could benefit greatly from them. And I used to try and memorize them and think how and where he could use them. And it was after several months that I realized that I was very resentful. It's quite true that when We lived very closely together, even in my husband's drinking time. And there was this terrific division and separation when he started going to his AA meetings, and he had a lot of friends that he didn't have before, and he didn't rely on me so much. And I was very resentful about this. In the beginning, I didn't want to even admit to myself this was true, but of course it was very much so. And my first glimpse at AA, I didn't quite know what it was. I was absolutely mesmerized. I'd heard of it vaguely in my youth. And so he was going to AA, and he was going to his meetings, and his friends were ringing him up, and he seemed to be very busy and very occupied and very happy, and I wasn't. We get very muddled, at least I did. I was very muddled about the whole thing. I didn't know why that he would stop drinking for somebody else and he wouldn't stop drinking for me. I was very muddled, I was very confused, and I was very selfish. I was resentful, and I thought there was nothing wrong with me. I thought I was perfect. And when I first went along to Al-Anon, I thought it was for older ladies. And I told my sponsor so. And she's here this evening. And I did really think it was for older ladies who perhaps hadn't a great deal to do. And it was sort of like a national tea party. And I didn't think, really, I had anything to do with me at all. But however, I kept going, and this was the important thing, because it made me realize how much I needed Al-Anon, and I do honestly feel that living with an alcoholic, one does need some sort of support, and Al-Anon is the best I know. It has given me so much in such a short period of time, it would take all night to tell you. I was terribly nervous. I could not have got up here this evening, truly on gunpoint. I couldn't have told you that I was a very proud person, selfish pride, and that I wouldn't, and I still have a lot of this because I still feel very odd when my husband would tell somebody that he wanted to know that he was an alcoholic. I still have an awful lot to learn, but I do find a fantastic amount of faith. I don't worry like I used to do anymore. I have let go of my husband to some degree, and I have let God take over my life. And this has given me a great deal of serenity and happiness. And, of course, I am a very new member, and I have just barely, if I have, scratched the surface. But my life is much happier. I think my children have benefited greatly from it, although I didn't think I was doing anything wrong with them either, you see. But at least some light is coming into my life. I could not truly I would hate to think of living without Al-Anon. It has given me so much in such a short period of time. I feel so grateful to my sponsor who took me along, and I feel there's an awful lot more work to be done, but I'm very glad to be here this evening, and thank you all very much.
Thank you, Therese. I'll now call on Sid from the Bridgetown group.
To all my good friends here that I know, particularly to Lois and Evelyn, greetings and good evening. Perhaps you might excuse me a little tonight if I don't stay here long. I have my reasons for it, but this is an Al-Anon function, and I am an alcoholic. And this means that I'm out of my depth. But first of all, to qualify for being here, I must tell you why I became a member of AA. The number of years doesn't matter that I drank. It was a good many. Like many of us here, I got into small troubles which gradually increased until I found myself getting into big troubles. I found myself travelling over the length and the breadth of Australia, running away from grog. I found myself every weekend, every birthday, every wedding, every funeral, every celebration, or every other time there was to be happy or to despair over, I found myself in the Bastille for the night, being drunk and disordered, for creating fights and all the rest of it. I found myself in the latter years with no money. And over the last 3 or 4 years of my drinking, I would have embezzled thousands of pounds from my employer. Her Majesty's representative deprived me of my motor vehicle driver's license for life. Not once, but twice. I know the story. I know what alcohol can do. And yet, in these, or those last few years, I didn't want to drink the way I was. I detested myself. I detested the drink that I was consuming. I went to doctors, many doctors, seeking an answer. I went to the Catholic priests, I went to the Protestant ministers, I went to the pastors, I went to every denomination I could think of. I went to the police and put myself on the prohibited list. I sent to Sydney and I got courses at Fields. It was guaranteed to stop me from drinking. I made bets and dares. And every time I tried to get away from the grog, I failed miserably and ended up in a worse state than I had been. There was no answer for me. So much so that I took bottles of pills, I charged trees with motor cars, I tried all sorts of ways of getting out of my troubles the easy way. But the easy way wasn't so easy. And then, by some good fortune, which I won't tell you about tonight, it would take a long while, I found myself talking to a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And for the first time in my drinking life, I found a little hope. Not a very big hope, only a very small ray of hope. That perhaps I may be able to do something with my life, perhaps I may be able to overcome this problem that I had. And I went along with what he told me. And I went to an AA meeting. And from that meeting I went to more and more meetings. I started going to the Bunbury meeting, and one of my very great and very dear friends, the late Jim W., taught me a lot as to what I should do to get this sobriety. By God's good grace, I got it. By God's good grace, I was able to obtain this sobriety, and so far I've retained it. Now, quite often, I speak at a meeting. Many of us speak at various meetings. And we say, thank God for AA. We might say, thank God for God Himself for showing us AA. But where should our main thanks go to? Who should it go to? I believe it should go to all the Loises in this world. How far would that grand old man of AA, Bill Wilson, have got without the assistance without the encouragement, without the love of his Lois? And how far would we have got without the backing of those within our own families? So perhaps we ought to change our views a little bit. Instead of saying, thank God entirely to AA, we should also say thank God for the members of our family who assisted us, who gave us this love, who had enough strength to help us along our way. This is why we're sober tonight. We're not sober because we came to AA in our own strength. We got sober. We didn't do this on our own. How many alcoholics in this room, like myself, received that help, received that little push somewhere where it was needed, received that little word of encouragement somewhere in the early days? We all did. And where did this little push and this little word of encouragement come from? It came from the Loises, the Bills, the Charlies, and so on. The opposite member of the family to the alcohol. So I would say tonight to each one of you people who are within the realms of Al-Anon, to each one of you who has an alcoholic partner, I would say this, and I would say it and mean it. I would say thank God for each one of you. Because with you people, you have given us the strength and the courage to carry on and retain the sobriety that we got within this fellowship. Thank God to Lois and Bill. Thank God to Jim W. for Jim W. of Bunbury. And thank God for a lot of you. I hope that I can come back here many, many times. One day we might even see Lois again. Thank you.
Thank you, Sid. I'd like to call your attention to Ella again for a few moments, please.
Well, it's my great pleasure tonight to give you just a very, very small token of our appreciation, Lois. This is just something that won't take up very much room in your case, but you'll be able to look back on this and say, well, that's from my friends in Western Australia.
Call your attention to the Les again, please.
Thanks very much, Les. Lois, on behalf of the members of AA, we'd like to receive a small present from us. We had a little trouble in thinking what to give you, but some 18 months ago we had Kess and his good lady Sadie over here, and they showed us a film taken at your home. We remembered that you were very keen on flowers, so we thought the best thing we could do for you was to get some West Australian wildflowers, the dry variety, and they'll keep for quite a long while, and We're going to give them to you, and after you had a look at them, we want you to give them back because we're going to send them over to America, so they'll be there when you arrive. Just before we getting very close to the end of the evening, before we close, there are two commercials. Wouldn't be an AA meeting, Al-Anon meeting without commercials. On Saturday night, there's to be a public meeting at Narrogin. Father Frank is taking a team down there, and I believe he went down last Saturday, and to use his expression, he cased the joint to see if they're ready for us. Were they? They are. He'd be only too willing to take a few more starters if anyone's available. And the second one is, on Saturday night also, the Gosnells Group are holding their anniversary meeting in the Centenary Hall in Albany Highway, Maddington. We know that the Gosnells people will be very pleased to see a large roll up there too. So you can spin the coin, you can go to Narrogin, or you can take the short trip and go to Maddington. And finally, we must express our thanks to the Reverend Father and the Brothers for the use of this building tonight. They readily opted to us, with some strings, when we asked for it. And if I say that there are no dues or fees, and we are self-supporting for our own contributions, you'll understand what the strings are. With that in mind, I'd like to tell you there's a kitty at the back door, a kitty on the table. Supper will be served in the dining room just across the quad. There'll be two more containers at the doorway to the supper room. You're not getting away, you know. And finally, there's one thing I would like to say. We've enjoyed everybody who's spoken tonight. We've shown our appreciation of them. But I would ask you now to join me in a vote of thanks to our chairman, Sess. Without saying anything more, is going to close the meeting. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Les. I can honestly say, before I came into Al-Anon, I would not have been able to stand up here and chair this meeting tonight. So that's one thing Al-Anon has done for me. Thank you. And now the only thing I have to do now is to thank all those who work behind the scenes, work so hard to make this meeting possible, to thank the speakers tonight for their speaking, and the listeners for listening. Thank you all. Now I'll ask you all to help me close the meeting in the usual way with the recitation of Serenity Prayer. God grant.